one. And we'll be beginning with the, let's see, the business agenda, which is the application for LTAC funds, lodging tax funds, Experience Tequila, and Juneteenth. And Brandon, you are here. Take it away.
I am here. By the way, I covered for Laurel, so I just hit the recording button. So that just that started right when you started talking, Councilmember Hogarty. So we're all set on that. Hey, today we're going to talk about Experience Tequila. We have a funding request for $100,000, as well as a funding request for Juneteenth. And then later on the agenda, there is a contract for True Blue Strategies, who manages Experience Tequila. What I thought I would do real fast is give you a quick overview of kind of what we've been doing to date, which all this relates to all the conversations that we're going to have today. So I'm going to share my screen, and hopefully, so, is everyone seeing my screen right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, as a reminder, we launched Experience Tequila at the in the spring of last year, and our goal was to get this. We'd been wanting to get this up and running ever since we had Bill Baker do our brand strategy in 2017. And one of the things he identified was that you need to have a compelling voice in the community, in the region, telling the Tequila story. And he recommended that we create a brand and digital platforms to promote the city within the region. These are separate from our City of Tequila accounts, and that's great actually because we can have different voices and put different messages out on those two platforms. So I kind of briefly I did this in the intro, and so let me give you a quick update of where we're at. So in May of last year, we launched four social media brands social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram to promote the city of Tequila. So what we do is we use these as a way to promote things that are happening within the community, and our goal here is threefold. One, we want to promote the city and we want to bring visitors into the city. That's our main objective. That's why we're using lodging tax funds. Second, we want to improve the brand. We want people to have good stories about Tequila. We want people to have a better perception, and we want to tell great things that are happening within the community. And then third, we also use Experience Tequila for economic development, business recruitment, business attraction, and promoting the city of Tequila from a business standpoint. So I'm going to show you some metrics to date that kind of show some of the initial success that we've had. So since we launched this in May of last year for social media, we've had just over 900,000 impressions. These are people's eyeballs on the posts that we've run, the ads that we've run. And then we've had just over 8,000 or just about 8,000 engagements. And an engagement is a like, it's a follow, it's something where someone took a definitive action related to the post. And so these are really good numbers. And one of the things that you see is we have it broken down between organic and paid. And I'm going to briefly talk to you so you have an understanding of what these two are. An organic post is something where we do not put any ad dollars behind it on Facebook or Instagram. You can spend $50 to boost a post. We don't do that for all of our posts. In fact, we really strive to, you want that organic likes. This is an example of our, so far, our most successful organic post. This was, we posted this on Mario Day to highlight the anniversary, March 10th is Mario Day, and we promoted our story and our connection here. So with this, we had 7 comments and 108 shares, and total, we had just over 11,000 people that we reached organically. As you can see here to the right of the screen, we did no paid search here. So what's great about this is it was an organic, it was a great story, and that people just latched onto and wanted to tell their friends about. The next, here's an example of a paid post. So this one was a Spice Bridge. And we did we put a little bit of ad dollars behind it, and this one resulted in that we got a total of 87 likes, comments, and shares, and we reached just over 11,000 people, 16,000 people, with most of that being a paid search. These are very, very cost, very low cost, like $20 to $30 that you can put behind some of these posts to boost it. The next thing that we did as part of this digital initiative is that we launched in February. We launched the experiencetukwila.com. This is a dedicated website to promote the city of Tukwila to visitors. And what's great about this is it's given us a lot more tools and resources to be able to use to promote the city. And an example I want to show you, this was a campaign that we did as soon as the pandemic hit. We created the Great Tukwila Carryout to promote the city of Tukwila restaurants that are offering carryout and takeout, carryout and delivery. But the problem that we had was we didn't have our website up and running yet, so we had to have this live on the city's website. And the city's website is great. It serves its function for providing background and information for government-related businesses. But this isn't where we want this to live. We want to have people go to a website so they can find more things about the city of Tukwila, and we can brand and we can promote it a lot better than sending them to the city's website. So one thing that the Experience Tukwila website features is an event page. This is where we would have had the Great Tukwila Carryout live if we'd had this website up and running. And so we now have a page in which we're promoting all events that are happening in the city of Tukwila. This could be city-sponsored events. It could be other stuff that's consistent with our brand, like the Rave Green Run coming up, or the Sounders, the Seawolves matches. So the other thing that's given us the opportunity to do is that now that we have digital platforms, we can sponsor more events and more activities to promote the city. So we are now supporting the Seattle Restaurant Week. We have a dozen Tukwila restaurants that have signed up this year to be part of it. And so now that we have website and social media up and running, we can link directly to that. So this is a screenshot, but if you were to link, if you were to click onto the Tukwila thing here, it would take you directly to our website. The other, I actually want to go to this one next. The other thing that we can do is paid, we can do sponsorships and arrangements with our partners. So last week we worked with the Seattle Seawolves and we're sponsoring Get to Know the Seawolves players. If you look over here, our name, Experience Tukwila, is highlighted. That's something that we didn't have the opportunity to do last year or any time before because we didn't have the social media up and running. So this provides us another opportunity to really promote the city and to encourage people to come and visit and to improve our brand. So it's something that, I'm really thankful that we've had the support to do this over the last year, and it's something that we can build off of as we move forward. The other thing is this is something that we do. This is on LinkedIn. We push out good news stories about the city of Tukwila. We've always heard about bad news stories that get pushed. Well, now we have the way to push out our own news stories and help highlight them. So this was a story last week about from Mark Stiers about the new Prado District and an interview with Mark Sagali. So what are our goals for 2021? We want to increase our followers for all social media. We want to develop better content for the website to help with SEO. Part of that content is we need to do another photo shoot. We did a photo shoot last summer, but of course we were doing that as part of the pandemic. And so that meant that we had masks on, and we also could not have big events. So we don't have any photos of people at Seawolves games or at Starfire Sports. We want to go back and we want to push off that photo, another photo shoot until we get in the clear and we start having people gather again. And then we also want to look for more opportunities for us to sponsor and partner. This is, I think, a great way for us to really push the Experience Tukwila digital initiative with our partners throughout the region. So that is the presentation. So what you have, I'll stop sharing my screen. So what you have before you, the first is an application for lodging tax funds in the amount of $100,000. That is to be used to contract. Primarily, most of those funds will be used to contract with True Blue Strategies. They maintain the day-to-day operation of Experience Tukwila. They're also going to be the ones doing the photo shoot, and we're also going to be doing some videos this year to promote the city. So that kind of highlights the Experience Tukwila application. Happy to answer any questions the committee members might have.
Let's start with Verna.
I don't have any particular questions because I'm one of those people who, like, follows Experience Tukwila on every platform. And it's fun because every now and then, in my job, I have to pop into LinkedIn from time to time. And it's so fun to see Experience Tukwila on LinkedIn. It's on Facebook. It's on Instagram. It's everywhere I go, which is great. So I don't have any particular questions. Just I think we were very smart to invest our time and resources in this. So I don't have any questions. I think it's great. Thanks.
Thank you. Tom.
Thank you. Brandon, is the $100,000 to Blue's True Blue, is that kind of a typical amount? Is it high? Is it low?
So True Blue won't be getting the entire $100,000. There is a contingency built into there of about 10%. So it is very consistent with the so let me back up. We originally budgeted for 2021 that the maintenance and the operations would be about $75,000. We're actually under that. What's running us a little bit higher is we want to do another photo shoot and we want to create some videos. We're still really with our content development phase. If we hadn't had those, we would actually have been under what I had budgeted for this year. So this is an amount that's consistent with what I think we would see. I also think True Blue provides us some value with not always billing us for all of the work that we ask them to do. And they're actually, you know, we haven't even had the relationship with them for a year yet, and they've been amazing to work with. Very responsive, very creative. So I do think it is the amount is consistent with what we would see from a competitive process.
On page 7 of our memo here, it says we spent $88,000 in lodging tax to launch Experience Tukwila. And then we're going to add $100 here. So we're about $200,000 into this Experience Tukwila outside of the cost for the consultants. Do you think that's about where we're at, or is there more cost we've invested into Experience Tukwila?
So the $88,000 was primarily that True Blue, which was going by the name Mammoth. They were the ones who were running our social media up through last year. So this is we pay them to keep everything up and running and to create the content. So that was also a photo shoot and some other work that we had them do last year as part of maintaining Experience Tukwila. And the big cost we had last year was getting the website developed. That was our biggest cost last year. So we're not going to have that cost moving forward for the next few years.
So what does the $100,000 then cover? Photo shoots, video shoots, and just the site administration?
Well, no, so they prepare, most of our social media posts are prepared by them. They create a calendar. They run it by me for approval, but they're the ones who craft the image, write the content. They also work on a messaging calendar. They work on the overall strategy for the year. So it's an ad agency is who we have working for us on this.
And how many hours do they give us then? Do they do a weekly, monthly?
I don't have an answer right in front of me, but I could look it up and email you.
Here's where I'm going with that. Why don't we just hire some marketing person to be a full-time staff person to do it?
Because I don't think it's that much. At the end of the day, it's not going to be that much hours. So part of what I think we have going on right now is we're developing this. We're not even a year into it. And so what we're able to do right now is I think we're learning, and I think as we move forward, we might actually taper it back amount. We might realize we don't need as much services from True Blue, and so we can reduce the scope of the contract as we move forward in the future. If we were to do this, if we were to hire someone, then it actually limits our flexibility. I think contracting this out gives us maximum flexibility with True Blue.
But it feels like if we're going to pay $100,000 for an outside consulting firm to do the work, we couldn't find somebody to come in, even if they only work 20 hours a week and we overpaid them, to be cheaper than $100,000?
Well, again, as I remind you, it's not $100,000 is all for True Blue. There's a video development and a photo shoot. So take that out. At the end of the day, it's around 65 to 70. That is for that maintenance of the to keep Experience Sequoia up and running in the post running. I think this creates a nimble environment for us. I don't think that there's a need to bring someone on full time or part time to do this. I also think there's value in having an agency which does work with other clients. And they're able to kind of bring that expertise to us as well. So if we bring someone in-house, it's someone who would only be working for us, and we lose that experience of them having experience working with other individuals and other companies.
Okay, I yield back.
All right. So I'll speak in support of the TrueBlue strategies, because I know, living in that world in my past life, that you're working with a team of people with different expertise that are able to bounce off each other ideas. It's a different dynamic than having a staff person doing that. Because it's a corporation where the ideas are coming up and they're working on ideas, and they're experts in this particular field along with working with other clients, so there's synergy there. So I think that's a great idea. Plus, the way that this is being described, the job is going to change after a while, and we really do try not to hire people knowing that they are going to be probably maybe laid off or later on because we don't need them anymore, in which case you would be contracting for someone, and that's what we're doing here. We're contracting for TrueBlue. So those are some of the reasons that I support this absolutely. But I do have a question, and that is, so we've got item A and item B. Brandon, are you doing both of these at the same time, or is there something more in B?
I was going to briefly talk about B after we get done talking about A. Are you talking about the Juneteenth?
No, not Juneteenth. Okay, I guess I've been just like looking at the 6-year financials and, then I am in support of both of these, and then we can, and if there's other conversations from council members, we'll have them now, or are you ready to move on to B? Oh, wait, I want to ask for if there is consensus to move this forward. I need to do that for item A. Tom, Verna, is it yes, Tom?
I had raised my hand.
Yeah, no, I saw that after I said Tom, I'm like, oh, she raised her hand. So Tom,
let her talk.
Yes, thank you. Okay.
Okay. So let me get this. So I think I'm convoluting things here. So in item 1A, Experience Tequila for $100,000. So that is for Experience Tequila. Is that, and that's LTAC dollars, right? Not
correct.
City dollars, not general fund money or
lodging
whatever.
Tax funds, correct.
Right. And so then the Experience, the agreement with TrueBlue, is that an additional 100,000 or is that 100,000?
So the lodging tax application goes first, assuming you would say yes, then the TrueBlue. Now the TrueBlue is $125,000.
Right.
But the reason that is in case we find additional funds that we want to use that, like a grant, we already have the scope. But if we don't, no general funds would be used for the TrueBlue contract.
So why didn't we ask in the lodging tax request for $125,000?
Because, because first we don't need it to maintain. We don't need $125,000 for Experience Tequila. But what happens throughout the year is that there could be a program that comes up where, for example, I need some graphic work done, and we have a pot of money that we're using from like a port grant or something like that. It's just to give us flexibility in case we have other things that we want to add to it.
Right, and just. Because I know where Tom is going, and believe me, Tom, I completely understand. But we could not use lodging tax dollars to wait a minute, we can pay somebody's salary with lodging tax dollars.
Correct. <we can. laughs>
Wait a minute. But I understand how, you know, it's not just somebody's salary, it's salary, it's benefits, it's all things that going into bringing a body on. And I'm tracking with you and thinking that, you know, this experience, Tukwila, as it gets rolling and ramping and going, it's just, you know, right now it's in its development phase. So it's going to be a little more time and money until we get it, you know, to a certain point. So, you know, I'm perfectly fine running it the way we're running it. I'll just say that. How about that? So there's no question there.
Okay. Do you have any comments before I go on to support and non-support? Do I have any further comments?
Well, I just think the amount of hours we could get from somebody else, you know, 2,000 hours in a year, focused just on promoting Tukwila's brand, is a lot. And I'm not of the opinion that you couldn't find good, marketable people, young college people, that could network with other professionals and then put together a product here that we'd be happy with, and we could give it so much more time than what we're going to get from True Blue. So, I mean, have you explored that, or you just went down this path and that's what you presented to us?
I have not explored bringing staff in. Let me back up. I have thought of bringing staff on. So True Blue is about 40 hours a month that they bill it, that we have a retainer for. So, but it's not just a digital marketing person, right? It's like our contract that we used to have with Kenyon Deason or Ogden Murphy. We get other people there that we can draw from. We have a website person that we can use. We have someone who can help us with public relations. We get a whole connection. We get a whole firm that's working with us based upon the specific needs: videographer, photography. Bringing someone in, we would just get someone who is working on, say, social media or on certain aspects of it. And I actually think at the end of the day, I think we would be paying more per hour to bring someone on than what we would have with True Blue. Once we factored in HR, benefits, retirement, all that stuff, and there's also the fact that we would lack flexibility. We can taper down the True Blue contract at any time we want, and redirect those funds. It gets difficult to do that with staffing.
Can we get out of the contract anytime we want?
30 days notice.
And how long is this contract for?
It runs through, it's for a year, so it runs through March of next year.
Okay, so if we in 3 months decide, you know what, we could do something else, we give a 30-day notice and we're out?
Correct.
And we've only paid for 3 or 4 months?
Correct.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. So I think these other points are valid points, because I don't agree with your statement that it's better per hour to go with True Blue. That's a lot of employee hours that we're putting in that equation. I think it would be cheaper this route, and you could always hire somebody to take a video, to take a photograph, and it would be cheaper, and I think you could network with people. But I don't want to discredit what you've done here. I think this is good stuff. I do appreciate that we have an exit, and it just takes 30 days to get out. So having heard that, I support this.
Okay. So in order to go with the recommendation for the funding request, we still have to talk about the Juneteenth in item A. Don't have to, we get to. And so let's do that. Go with Juneteenth, and then we'll go on to item B. We'll go in sequential order.
Yes. So I was communications. Naisha has been working with some community members to create a Juneteenth event. And the goal here, lodging tax is simply coming in to help with any cost that might be incurred this year for video production, if we need to bring speakers on. And what we really want to do is to help create an authentic event that is a really Tukwila-focused event. And what's happening right now is there's a lot of community members who are working on this. And so our role here is simply to provide some funds in case they need it as they move forward to help push this event. So the funds could be used for, as I kind of talked about, this is going to be a digital event for 2021. 2022, hopefully we get to do an in-person event, which I think would be great. So we would probably use these funds for sponsorship, marketing, any type of logistics that they might need to help put on the event. So it's a $5,000 request, and that's how we're proposing to use those funds.
Okay, so before I go on to council members, it's up to $5,000, right?
Correct, not to exceed $5,000.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Tom, what do you think?
I think...
Where did the $5,000 number come from? How'd you pick that versus 10?
It was we simply put together a small estimate. I mean, in my head, I put together $5,000 that I think the event might need. There's no really this is our first time performing it. It's kind of based upon some experience that I've had with other events and activities that I thought it was a reasonable amount.
I think it should be more based on that 2020 and what we went through. Everything that came to light as a result of our experience in 2020, we should not miss the opportunity and the responsibility to put Juneteenth on the, you know, the calendar of events in the year in a very meaningful way. So if that takes more resources, then it takes more resources, but we should not miss this opportunity or responsibility. So I would be in favor of even more if this is a randomly picked number. That's my thought.
Thank you. Verna.
Yes. So I'm looking at page 21 in the packet. So basically the event organizers will include our city's Parks and Rec Department. So is our Parks and Rec Department kind of the lead entity on this then?
So I think Naisha in communications has really been the one to organize to kind of – she's been facilitating the meeting. So I think communications is. But I also – you know, what I see happening and what I think is great is I don't think the city should be the lead in this. And I think it should come from the community, right? There should be – the city can help facilitate and help with logistics. But the planning is there's community members who have been involved with helping to kind of create the event and the programming, and I think that's great. That's exactly what we want. Is that it's not being directed by the city, that the city is only helping to support it.
Okay, so when funds are to be used, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is there's $5,000, you know, is Sally Smith down the road, is somebody going to cut her a check, or how will the funds be? You know, I agree with Tom. I mean, we should do what we can to promote this event. I realize this event this year is going to be virtual versus something else in the future, but normally when we're approving lodging tax dollars, it's going to it's for a specific event. How is the accounting? I'm just trying to figure out how that's going to be.
So there are
stewards of the money.
They're eligible. So of course, any use of city funds is subject to certain requirements, right? Regardless if it's lodging tax or if it's general fund dollars. So any of the funds would have to be consistent with putting on the event. Yes, there's no specific budget yet because we were trying to quickly get funds allocated, and so they're still working on the planning. And I wanted to, so we wanted to help get some funds identified that they could possibly use.
Okay, that's fine. All right, that was my question. I'm just trying to figure out the logistics of it because at the end of the day, we're in charge of making sure that these funds get distributed the way they should be. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Verna. And I have a couple of questions that are logistics questions. One is, if we spend all $5,000, can they just put another request in? Would that work? Because we have
yes.
No list. Okay. Okay. So they could just, if they see that coming down the pike, they could, you know, they could do another request. And the reason that I ask that is because if we change the amount, do we have to go back to LTAC and go through the process again?
So it triggers a 45-day notice requirement that won't be able to start until the city council as a whole directed staff to let the LTAC know that it wants to change the amount. And so what I think there's a way, Councilmember McLeod and Hogarty, building off of what you both said, we can approve a $5,000 request, and if a need arises, we can come back, so then it won't hold up the amount that $5,000. And 2022, I think this is an amazing outdoor event to do, and we're going to come back and probably ask for more funds because an outdoor event has more cost, but I think we can make this. We lack an authentic event, and this could be a Tukwila authentic event for our community, and that really highlights us to the entire region. So I'm excited about what the future could hold on this. But if they need additional funds, we can always come back to LTAC and the city council.
Okay, can you make sure that that's noted in the minutes, just because that way it makes it, you know, easy and say, oh, look, in the minutes, if things are going down the pike, it looks like it's going to go over 5,000. Here's our discussion on that. And let's should we ask the committee, say, just sort of pre-sit okay that so that I mean, you can always come back.
It still has to come back to the whole council, and we can run that through quicker than we can the 45 days. So,
but just know that there's a really good likelihood that it'll just go through. That's, I mean, we can't. I didn't mean by formally pre-approved. But know that you have a friendly committee that if more funds are needed, that there's a good chance it's just going to go through that extra amount that's needed. Does that sound good, Tom?
That sounds good. If we run into a situation in which we need to rush it to council, I'll talk to the committee chair, Councilmember Horigarty, and maybe we just take it straight to a regular council meeting if we have to.
Okay. Any other comments about this? Tell me about your hand up.
Yes. So did you start to say, so who in the community is kind of spearheading this?
How about we have a presentation from communications? Lodging tax is only acting as a financier of this. I would like to have the people, Naisha and the other community members, we can prepare a presentation to the committee about what this event is looking like and who's kind of behind it. Does that sound like
okay.
A plan?
Well, I'd be interested in that. But you know and don't want to say, or you don't know who's behind it?
I don't want to speak. I don't want to say. I always worry about saying some people's name and leaving some people out. So I want to make sure that I want to make sure you have all the right information.
No, is it an organization or it's residents that have come together to do it?
So I believe the Tukwila Children's Foundation is included with this, and some other organizations and some residents as well.
Okay, thanks.
Also, Equity and Social Justice is following this closely, and I'll be reporting out on that. So, and standing by to partner, not leading, but standing by to partner. So I would say that, you know, on behalf of ESJ, that they will be a player with this. So,
And one other question, Brandon. Why can't this be the city's event?
Again, I don't think the city has to always be the – so this is just – I'm not speaking about Juneteenth. I think we want community groups doing events. I think we really want to create an environment in which we have groups wanting to do events because it's authentic. When we put on events, we sometimes have limitations in place that we can and can't do. But when groups do it, it just expands the opportunities and expands kind of the authentic nature of the event. And I mean, Juneteenth is separate, but sometimes when we do an event, it's very costly. We pay city staff to do events versus other people who might be doing volunteers. So I really think that there are going to be some opportunities in which city can do events. I also think that it's great, and you see this happen in communities throughout the region. You see Rotary, you see organizations putting on events themselves, and they get the lodging tax funds. It's not the city itself doing it. And I think that's what we really want to promote within the community.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments about item A? All right. The recommendation is that we put this on the April 19th consent agenda. Do I have consensus from my fellow council members? And the nods are there. So that's a yes. So it'll be on the April 19th consent agenda, and the minutes will say that there was a discussion about the ability to apply for more funding and with positive response during the meeting or something like that. Okay, so then we have item B, which is the agreement with True Blue Strategies for Experience Tukwila not to exceed 125, and that's on page 25. Lots of 25. And that's you, Brandon, right?
Yeah, and I think I covered this when I did the presentation for 1A, or the first topic. So again, staff recommends that we enter into a contract with True Blue for $125,000, and we put it on the consent agenda for adoption.
Okay, so that's the full amount of the information. And do I have consensus to put this probably the same meeting, right? I gotta look.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. I'm flipping pages. Tom, Verna, did you get your questions answered, Tom? You have more questions, so go up.
Did the city attorney look at this?
Yes.
Wait one second. I'm looking at page 30, number 14. It says we only have to give 10 days, not 30 days. So is that true? That's even better.
Yes, and I was probably going off of another contract template we have. 30 days is that one, so 10 days is even better.
Yeah, okay. Did the attorney get a chance to glance at this or someone from their office?
Yes, the city attorney, Carrie Stan, reviewed this and signed off on the form.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so the recommendation is this also goes to the consent agenda. And do I have head nods or yeses or from my fellow council members? Okay, so that is done. The next item on the agenda is on page 35. It's follow-up on King County Health Through Housing Program presentations. And this will be Rachel, who I think is here. Yes,
Good evening, council members. Thank you for the opportunity to come back. You will remember that this is a follow-up from a discussion we had a few weeks ago. So you all, as well as members of the community, some folks on social media, et cetera, provided a long list of questions and requested that staff come back with answers to those questions. So attached to the memo, which again is building on starts on page 35, which is building on the memo that we started back in early March. We have those questions. Some of the questions we are able to currently answer, some are not. You'll see we took two fact sheets from the county that they're working on this and used those to answer the questions. However, I think as we've discussed previously, some of these questions really can't be answered until we get into if the council is interested in us having deeper discussions with the county on this topic, right? So for instance, a question was, what type of clients would a potential facility serve, right? Well, there's a number of different possibilities for that, right? There could be single adults, there could be single segregated by sex, there could be a family, right? So again, those are all conversations that you sort of have to, nuances that you have to start having these discussions with the county in order to get into. So I'm here today to answer any questions. My colleague Stacey Hansen is also here listening in if she can be helpful. I look to the chair. Do you want to go through each question? I am here to serve, so tell me how you want to make this work.
I want to go through the memo first.
So okay.
So under discussion, it says in the very first paragraph under discussion, it says the legislation that is currently moving forward in Olympia mandates that implementation of this program within cities must be done on a voluntary basis. So would you please explain how that differs from the Senate bill that is going through that has, that is talking about the preemption of zoning and how
sure.
this, and how this is different?
Sure. So 1220 is the preemption, legislation, right, that we've talked about previously. 1070 is the legislation that allows King County to spend the tax money on existing uses. You'll remember that when the county got the authority to do this 0.1%, which the cities also got, that was, at that time, it was just contemplating new construction. So 1070 is the legislation which has passed the Senate now. It's passed, right? That says, okay, if you took this tax for chronically homeless individuals, you don't just have to spend it on new construction. You can purchase existing construction. In that, in 1070, there were two amendments added to that, one of which was county must work with willing cities. The second amendment is, I can't remember the exact wording of it. It's a little complicated, but basically it says the county will set aside up to 15% of the units in a facility in a city for people who are chronically homeless in that city if they can find enough people to fill those slots, right? So there's some information on the Q&A here. This is a narrow definition that we're talking about with the chronically homeless, right? We covered this the last time. And so I just want to make sure I show you right. Starting on page 37, if you look at question 11, that is where we get to the specifics of who qualifies for this program. And again, it's not necessarily your couch surfing family that would qualify for this program. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I have more.
Hogarty.
Okay, so those are ones. And I just want to make a comment about that. And that is that at the time that this was presented to us, I think that we were thinking that it could be couch surfing members of our community that had been chronically homeless for over a year, and that was not fully understood. So I'm going to leave it right there. I'm not going to say much more about that because I'll probably pick that up later. Some misunderstandings. Actually, I'm going to add one more thing to that. I might as well say it now. So, well, first of all, when we gave the money back to the county, I personally, from the presentation that was made, thought that we have chronically unhoused members of our community that have kids in school, along with people that live in tents and on the street. Okay, so, but I was thinking of it in a larger, I was thinking there was a larger picture and that this money would be able to help a larger swath of our homeless population. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that when we as a council said, yes, let's give this money back to the county so that they can bond for to build, right? We were thinking of building new properties. Since we gave the money back, it's that we've been told that no, what the county is going to look at is existing properties to use. And so it's like the game has changed on us since we said, here, have our money. And I'm just going to leave that right where it is to now. I think I'll stop my comment there, that things are different than we thought it was, and things are also different than we thought it was because of just lack of clarity during the presentations, whether it was us just not getting it, which it might have been, or maybe that it wasn't spelled out enough, which could be. I'm not saying we can't go back and change anything, but those were two things that happened. So, and so I just want to say that here we are, right? I'm just laying out what the scenario looks like now. This is the landscape. And then I want to go on to the last paragraph on 35, which is about the attached document, about the compiled questions. And thank you for those. They're very clear here and laid out very clearly. It says in this memo, questions for which there are no responses will need to be answered in consultation with King County, and some depend on policy direction from the City Council. Ultimately, if there's an interest in proceeding with a discussion with the county, some of these issues could be covered in an agreement between the city and the council. What I am asking for is that we get answers from the county, and that that they give us some scenarios. I am not willing to say we are in negotiations with the county until I get some answers from these questions, which is great. That looks like that's the next step. So the next step would be the ones that says how many cities may be involved. That's unknown at the time. Facilities unknown. That would be a question to ask the county. They might not know the answer, but they can give us more information than unknown at this time. They can give us an idea of what they are planning or what they are proposing. So that's another issue that I have, or just an item to know about this. We do want to get these answers to the questions, but I don't think it's going to be necessary for us to say we're in negotiation with you as far as actually doing this project, because the next question is which are the 10 cities that were identified, and what's going on in those 10 cities? Are they having conversations with the county, and what are those conversations? I don't remember if that question's in here, but I would like that to be added to the question. So the goal here is to help people. The goal here is to help people that are in situations where they're homeless, which is increasing numbers. It is to better their situation. And so that's what we want to do, and we want to do it right. And we want to make sure that the money is spent in a manner in which we believe helps, not only helps people, but works in our community. So those are my overarching statements. I don't have anything else about the recommendations. I think that on page 36, it says that staff is seeking committee guidance on whether it concurs with the recommendation to remove the two areas specified above from consideration. Those two areas are the TIB area and the Tuckwillet Urban Center. And at that meeting, I indicated that I would be interested in that. But I still, before we say yes to that, I want to know more. What if the facilities that we create don't have a negative impact on those two areas, then we don't need to restrict them. So I just say, let's hold on that and get some questions answered first. And so those are my comments. Nothing about the specific questions yet. So Council Member Steele, I think you're first. And you might have an overarching statement like I did, or you might be at the point where you want to ask about specific questions. So I hand it over to you. I said a lot.
Yes, you did. Thank you, Kathy. So my question is, where did I, hold on. So on page 35, Kathy mentioned questions for which there are no responses will be needed to be answered in consultation with King County. Some depend on policy direction. Ultimately, if interested in proceeding with a discussion, some of these issues could be covered in an agreement. Do we need to have some sort of formal agreement in place to maybe get some more answers from King County before we do that?
I don't think you need an agreement to get the answers, right? Ultimately, I think we touched on this briefly the last time we had this discussion. Ultimately, I would say that the city would not be a willing city, right? That's the term everybody's using in this, until it signed the agreement, right?
Right.
Because the problem is that there has to be some, if there is interested in moving forward and getting more information and things like that, there has to be some discussions with the county about, with some idea of policy direction, right? So for instance, if the council said, we would be interested in exploring such a thing, but here are the X, Y, and Z kind of key things that we would not be okay with, right? It's hard to go in and to say, answer these questions because there's too many variables.
Yeah.
Right? There's way too many variables. So we need to put a little bit of gates in the conversation here so that we understand what the conversation is. Otherwise, you all are parents. It's that what if game that your kids want to play with you all the time, right? It becomes an impossible conversation,
right?
Unless we have some idea of where you all are interested in going,
right?
From my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're right. Because a lot of these are, nobody would be able to answer the question until we became a willing city and they started really digging in and looking at things, right? I mean, because right now it's just kind of this nebulous idea, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So with that said, though, what Kathy had said about, kind of the misunderstanding of exactly who would be housed in this, maybe this is a Stacy question. So I'm looking on page 37, and who qualifies for this housing? Homeless or at risk of being homeless, families with children or unaccompanied homeless youth and young adults. That's different than couch surfing. How?
You have to keep going. Households must meet one of the following definitions.
Oh,
if you have to be A through F, but then you have to go through and someone either there needs an adult with a disability experiencing homeless for 12 consecutive months or 12 months over 3 years, a household at risk that includes adult with disability,
right.
And then you see there.
Yeah.
Experiencing homeless for 10 to 12 months in the previous 3 years or 12 plus months in the previous five, one adult that's been incarcerated in the past, within the previous 5 years, detained or yes, there are some families who would qualify, right?
Correct.
But
right.
There are, and that came from the state legislation, right? So that's where those definitions came from. But yes, there are some families who would, but there are some more specific things in there that make some families unable to qualify.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to stop for right now. Go ahead and probably come back to me, but I'll let Tom go, and then I don't think we're done with this yet.
No, I don't expect that.
Yeah.
I expect continued conversation.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll yield back to Tom.
Go ahead, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you. On page 38, number 13, 50% of the units are for people who are living in or near the city in which the facility is located. If I'm in a tent by the Green River, am I living in the city?
Yes, absolutely.
So I could come from Seattle, position my tent, and apply because I live in the city.
Well, we already have individuals living in tents on the Green River.
I know, but
so those are the folks that it's trying to capture.
So I understand that. That's who we're trying to help. But we could get an influx of people that want to position themselves to be in line for housing in Tukwila.
I would not think that would happen, honestly, Council Member.
Okay. Another question that I have. We voted 5-2 to use these funds from the bill. I forget the number of the bill, 1070, to give them to King County. Can we go back on that vote if we wanted to change our mind? No.
No.
Okay. All right, thank you. And similar to other subjects in our city, it feels like there's a specific subject, House Bill 1070, to deal with this King County program, and everybody wants to use this bill as a platform to address homelessness in Tukwila. And maybe that's unfair because maybe we'd want to look at other programs. Can we look at other programs at the same time, or should we not be mixing these things together? Like, there's other programs that deal with homelessness, and could we support them? I see on Facebook someone refers to Vision House. And
right.
So how do we keep the focus of the conversation germane to what's really relevant here?
So those would be two separate, very separate things, right? So I would say that to the question that came up earlier about the preemption bill, a Vision House or a another provider would be able to, assuming that bill passes, which it has had some modifications, but I do think it's going to pass. They would be able to go in other locations that you wouldn't have the control over like you would over the health through housing. But that being said, so the question before us is, do we want to participate in the King County's health through housing program or not? If we don't want to, then this, you know, once we get to four, right, then this conversation ends. If you want to initiate conversations with Vision House or Mary's Place or whatever, that's separate because we're talking about a program that is being funded by a specific funding source that isn't available to anybody else other than the county and the cities who took the tax.
But this funding source, we don't get to pick what it gets chosen for because we've already handed it over to the county, correct?
Well, even had you not handed it over, you would have been very significantly restricted of how you could spend it. Those, you know, the what Councilmember Steele and I were just going through in terms of, I think it's question 11, that's in the state legislation. That's not the county coming up with that. That was directly from the state. So you would have been restricted to, even if the city had taken the tax, you would have been restricted to those same individual serving that same population.
Okay. To the question of, do I want to hear more from the county? The answer is yes. I want as many options. If I'm going to pick this up and play with it and shape it and form it into something I think would be good for Tukwila, then I want all my options on the table. So that would include, let's get some more answers from King County. I'm not going to take an area off as an option, but I'm also going to protect all the areas that I can protect. So at this point, we're just discussing. I'd like to have all the options on the table while we discuss and shape it and form it and see if it's something we could use. That's how I would look at it right now. I yield back.
Karina, did you have more comments right now?
Yeah, just because we're, if you don't mind, just because we're kind of right on this same subject. So, Rachel, I just want to, because, you know, light bulb moment. So even if we would have kept these funds, even if we would have kept them, we would have had to have spent them on number 11, right? That group of people, right?
Yep.
So again, that's very restricted. Now, what I also just heard you say, which scares me, is you think 1220 is going to pass with some modifications.
They did do some modifications, and so as I understand it, where things are kind of landing is it going to be more centered around transit? So it won't be, the areas won't be anywhere in the city, but they will be restricted around within a mile, 1 mile of transit.
Okay. Yeah, which is kind of cool.
I know there's still a lot of work on that going on, right? So don't, you know. Right. Don't take it to the bank, as they say, but there's a lot of, momentum behind that bill.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So here's where I'm sitting right now. I think I agree with Kathy and I agree with Tom is I'd like to have some more information from the county. Because every time we talk about this, we have a little bit more information. And I agree. I don't want to take anything off right now because let's just see what it comes back at. I mean, this may all be moot at some point, but I think if we can go back to the county, I think it's also part of our due diligence as committee members, right, to get as much information as we can. Now, Rachel, if you go to the county and we can't find out a lot of these things, which I'm anticipating some of these things we just aren't going to know, but at least we've asked, and then that would be what I would like to see. I don't know if my other council members feel the same way, but that's kind of where I'm going. And then we would know the totality of it, kind of like what Tom said. You know, before we take anything off, let's see what we've got and then see how we can protect, kind of, you know. Anyway, I'll yield back before I just keep going.
Yes to what my fellow council members are saying. I would say that I definitely want to stop short of saying we're a willing city to have these conversations. If they don't want to have those conversations and they want us to be a willing city first, I'll say that's a showstopper for me. I'm, you know, that's, we're done, because I really think that they can give us a lot of information without having to, for us to be in negotiations with them. They can give, they've definitely got an idea. They did this because they've got some ideas about this. Let's go there next. Let's have that be our next step. And then I also want to make sure, I don't know if this is, was this in here? How many cities, no, which are the other 9 cities and where are they in their process of working with the county on this particular initiative? So that I would like to have added. Is that sound, to me, that makes a huge amount of sense. What's going on in other cities with this?
I think we can get information on what's going on in other cities with this. So I know the county is in a range of discussions with a range of cities. I don't want to put any of our fellow colleagues in a bad spot, but I think we can find out what, you know, the idea of what they're talking about with the different cities.
Mm-hmm. And I think that if the county knows that we want, the intent is to help our population, but we want to do it the right way. Maybe we can form this into that, and I have some ideas of how that could look. But right now, they can give us answers that give us explanations of, like, will those refusing services be asked to leave? They have some idea of how they want to work that. They can give us a couple scenarios, of what they think that might look like. So there's a lot of information that they can plug into this, which would be enormously helpful for us. And so I have a council member. Do you think that we have given staff the direction that we want to give them on next steps?
Yes.
Are the next steps, go back to the county, say, our council members want you to answer these questions, please. And then,
Well, I would just say, what can they answer? You know, here's what the council is asking. Can you answer these? I mean, I do think that some of these questions, they aren't going to know. I mean, they're just not going to know. But at least we could, at least I think we're doing our due diligence, right? We're asking those questions because if this gets out of our committee, which is going to get out in some way, shape, or form, I want to be able to say we've unturned every stone that we could and got all the bits of information that we can. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Kathy.
No, that's totally good.
It's a really good point. If I could just add, because, you know, one point in there is they're going through the RFQ, RFP process right now for providers. I mean, some of this stuff is just way up in the air because it depends on who the providers that's going to come in to run the actual facility, right? The county at the end of the day is going to be a landlord.
Well, and that's another huge deal. It's all about the provider, really. It's all about the provider and how they're doing the services. And so we need to know a lot before we're even a willing city. What are your provider? What's your provider list look like? Because once we're a willing city, we're over the line. We're done. They can just do it, right? I mean, let's just get all of this stuff answered up front. And so there you go. So let's just get all these answered up front as much as we can. And like you said, there's some things that they're going to say, well, depending on this, that, or we just don't have an answer. That's an answer. So Rachel, what would be your next step based on the request that we've just given you for more information?
Request that the committee chair call on Councilmember McLeod.
Oh, you have your hand up. Tom.
That was so smooth. I like it. I would say that I think it's fair to articulate to the county, we haven't made a decision. We're not on a path to make a decision. Don't perceive this as our next steps towards being a willing city. But we need to know what this looks like when it's all done. And it's not just a matter of getting through the logistics of red tape, but when we're all done and the county kind of steps back from this thing, and now somebody's running it, and our city and our neighborhoods are having to deal with it, which may be good or bad, you know, we want to understand as much as we can what that looks like. And, you know, once this county gets done with it, then, you know, this has to be, for us, this isn't, it's more than just looking good in an election year. This is a real thing, and our neighbors are going to be impacted by it. We're all going to be impacted by it, we hope in a positive way, but yeah, we really got some serious questions, and we want as much as information that will tell us what this will look like and what the experience will be when it's all set up and running. And I think that's fair to really kind of put that out there and, you know, be really direct with it. And if they can't answer that, then I don't know what to say, but that's really important. I'm not okay with vague answers. That's it. I yield back.
Thank you. I like that, those words. What is the experience going to be for everyone involved? That's a good way to put it. All right. So Rachel, I called on Tom, which was the next step. That step done. Now it's the step after that.
I'll reach out to the county and we'll have some initial conversations with them, understanding that this does not make us a willing city. This does not put us on a path to a willing city. But I will work on playing the what if game that I. So we'll work on it. I can't promise you I'll be back in 2 weeks. Right. So but as soon as I have some more information, I'll be back to committee. Does that work?
Sounds great. Yeah. Yes. It does. And what time is it right now? We have, oh, yeah. I just want to thank Stacy for being on the line here. Stacy, did you have any comments? I think that would be fair if you do.
Stacy!
Hello, thank you. Putting you on the spot here. And then I was just like, wait, there's Stacy. Do you have any, like, observations from your area of expertise?
Not anything that I haven't already shared, and that's really what Rachel has gone over. I think there's a really good group of questions, and we've done the best to find answers ourselves and, of course, talk to the experts at King County. And once we get to the point where Rachel comes back and she's able to present to council more information and more detail, I think we'll have a lot of you might feel more comfortable with what this conversation looks like to continue moving forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. So do we have any other comments, closing comments? So we know what's happening. Our action item is that Rachel will follow up. She gets to do the action. And the next item is miscellaneous. Is there any miscellaneous for the good of the order, as they say? No, seeing none. We have a few minutes before the next meeting, and Gonzaga. I think they're playing right now, right? So anyway, all right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody.